Hey everyone, a quick note before we start today's episode. Our website is actually currently under construction, and you might have noticed in your iTunes feed that there's a little funky stuff going on. For one, our podcast is now named Podcast-Film Roast instead of just Film Roast, and our logo is extremely pixelated. This will go away in a couple of days, but until then, we just wanted to make you guys aware. If you're on Apple Podcasts / iTunes, you should be totally fine. However, if you are a subscriber of ours on Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, anything that's not Apple Podcasts, it is very possible that it will automatically unsubscribe you from our show. And in a couple of days, it would mean the world to us if you guys could look us up, find Film Roast, and resubscribe. That way we don't lose any of our subscribers. You guys don't lose our little tiny silly show. And we can continue giving you guys semi-normal great content, I guess. So be on the lookout for that. That's what's happening. Thank you guys so much for your support. We love you all and happy roasting.
Welcome to Film Roast.
Hey everyone, we're back with another episode of Coffee Corner. I'm Hannah.
I'm Julia.
And together we are amazing. But you Film also Roast. Might know us yes. as Film Roast, the podcast where two overcaffeinated and underqualified friends talk about movies. And in this case, we're talking about pop culture. This Coffee Corner is going to be on the long-awaited new season of Stranger Things Season 2.
Yes, we waited a long time for this. It finally came out. Oh my gosh, was that just last Friday?
It was last Friday.
I feel like I've lived like 10 lives since Stranger Things came out.
So much has happened. It was Halloween, and like we had a good chat about Halloween last Coffee Corner. Did you have a good Halloween?
I had a fine Halloween. Here's what happened is Cliff had to work super last minute. So we were planning on spending Halloween together, but then he had to go to work. And Cliff works for like 24 hours. Right. So he'll be gone for like the whole night. And before he left, he was like, oh, you know, we don't get any trick-or-treaters, so you don't need to worry about buying any candy. And I was like, okay, great. That's totally fine.
Sure.
So I'm just minding my business at home on Halloween night, and like 30 children show up to my door trying to trick or treat, and I panicked, and we had probably 8 boxes of LaCroix in our mudroom, and so I grabbed it and I took it out, and I was like, I am so sorry, you guys, I don't have any candy for you. And I look like a crazy person because I just got out of the shower, right. So my hair's all wet,
right,
and I'm like wearing sweatpants. And I apologize to them, and I just tell them, like, they can take any color LaCroix they want. And their parents are in the background, like, trying to look over their shoulders, right. Being like, what is that? What are you giving right. them? What is that? So my Halloween was weird.
Sure.
And also, I was still sick, so that wasn't fun. So essentially, I was sick, and I ended up tricking all these little children into thinking that I was actually giving them soda when I was really just giving them carbonated water. So
aww.
How was yours though? Because you dressed up as you went as who you really are, I believe, which is Clarice Starling.
Yes, we did. Tim went as Hannibal and I went as Clarice. The problem was so it was all fine. Like I had like made these props and like we got all dressed up. But the spirit that we bought Tim's Halloween costume from, which was essentially just like a Department of Corrections orange jumpsuit, usually they have fitting rooms in there, and they didn't have one in this particular store, which was weird to begin with. On top of that, most of those stores don't let you return anything. Like once you buy it, you buy it. And so Tim is like, this should fit me, right? And he like held it up to his body, and I was like, that looks you know, fine to me. And it fit him fine. It was just like kind of tight in certain areas.
Oh no.
And so he was like, I don't know if I want to wear this like around your family. You feel weird. And I'm like, it's not like that bad. But he felt very self-conscious. And so he wore it long enough for us to take a picture. And then he was like, yeah, I've about had it. So my downfall with that was like, everyone was like, so who are you supposed to be? And I'm like, well, I'm Clarice Starling from Silence of the Lambs. And they're like, who? And I'm like, well, I'm supposed to be Jodie Foster and he's supposed to be Hannibal, but he's not dressed up as Hannibal anymore. So I just look like somebody that's like dressed for work with a gun. And so a lot of people thought I was like Agent Scully from the X-Files or like Pam from The Office, which I thought was funny because I had like a holster and a gun. Oh, and I was like, Lord. Not quite. It was, I mean, I felt good about it. Like, our friends were like, oh my gosh, that's such a great costume. But, like, to the, you know, average eye, people would be like, what are you? So, it was a mild success. It was a mild success. And I did do the impression. I did the impression for my mom, who is, like, obsessed with it, which is great. Gets a laugh every time. And I did post it on our Facebook, Film Roast Fan Club Facebook page. So you guys can check that out if you're bored and don't have a life like me. but Halloween was good. I mean, it was fun. It was fun watching my nieces go trick-or-treating. They're just hilarious. And my sister's whole family, like, so my 3-year-old niece was Ariel. And she was so cute. She had the wig and, like, the, like, full-on, like, garb. And then the youngest, the 2-year-old, was supposed to be Sebastian, but she just went as a lobster, and it was so cute. And then my sister was Ursula, and my brother-in-law was King Triton, but they had to buy this like random beard for King Triton, and so Lindsay bought this Sauron from Lord of the Rings beard. And it looked amazing, but the kids were so afraid of Trent. It was the funniest thing. Like, they didn't know what was their dad. And so they were scary. We don't like him. Like, they were, like, terrified of the beard. And
that is so funny.
Oh, it was so good. It was so enjoyable to watch them. that was by far the best part. But, yeah, overall, a mildly successful Halloween. Nothing to complain about. You saw the video of, okay, guys, I got to tell this story real quick. So,
oh yeah, this is crazy.
So we're sitting in a circle because in Arizona at this time of year, it's like the perfect time of year where you can actually sit outside and like have a little fire going and chat. So we're watching all the trick-or-treaters come up and, you know, it's kind of died down. There's not a whole lot of kids outside anymore and we're just chit-chatting. Well, my mom is sitting across from me and her eyes get really big and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, what is that? And I was like, what is what? And she looks out in the distance and I look behind me and about 100 yards away, there's just like a face. And I'm like, what is that? Is that a person? And I stand up to get like a better look and it's a guy that's dressed up as Michael Myers from Halloween, literally just standing alone, like 100 yards away staring at us. And it was terrifying.
I hate it.
And we're all like, oh my God, oh my God. And so we're like, okay, that's like funny and creepy and blah, blah, blah. We go about our dialogue. We're like having a good chit chat. I turn around again and now he's 50 yards away and still staring. And I'm like, you guys, he's getting closer. And it was like literally every time I turned around, he was a little closer to me and it was horrible. And he pulled it off really well, but like, it was funny because we were at a friend's house and the neighbors were all like, who is that? Is that like Bill? Is that Bob? And like nobody knew who it was. And I was like, that's so creepy that it could just be some rando walking the streets with your children. And like, it was really,
really
creepy.
That is really scary.
Yeah, it was
super creepy.
I
think that's
creepy.
Super clever though. I mean.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Yeah. See, my first, because I watched your video that you posted of that on Facebook, which was hilarious and everybody should go watch it. But because I listen and watch so much true crime stuff, mm-hmm, my mm-hmm. first instinct was this person is not playing. They
totally.
Are not messing around. Like right. that person is going to legitimately stab somebody.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you never know.
You never know. Totally. Yeah. Ugh. You could easily be that person who's like, oh my God, how clever. You're so funny, and then right. they stab you.
Right, just like in the movies. They're like, stop kidding around, Steve. And then that person stabs you, and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's like,
oh, that's not Steve.
That's not Steve at all. Yeah, it was horrifying, but great. So props to you. I'm sorry if somebody was murdered. I don't know at this point Ooh, in my life
we should look what into happened. That.
Yeah.
Okay. anyway, so, okay, tell me when you finished Stranger Things season two.
Yeah, so we actually started, I say late, but like late to us is like 2 days in. So I think we started maybe 2 or 3 days after it came out, and we finished the finale on Halloween. So that was the only one we had left, and we finished that up around like 11 on Halloween night, and it was good. It was pretty good. Yeah. When did you binge the whole thing? Because you said you were going to wait till Halloween. And then last time I talked to you, you're like, I'm almost done.
I did say that. Yes. Well, it came out on Friday. I think we watched like 3 or 4 episodes on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And then we finished the rest of it on Sunday because there was no way I was going to let anybody spoil this for me.
Oh, and totally.
I also am really snobby about TV shows and movies. Like, I have to see them before other people or mm-hmm. else I feel it's like it's an ego thing. Like, I don't have a lot to feel good about and I need to feel good about this. So,
right.
And I had friends who were finishing it before me and not even like movie buffs, you guys. Less like regular people.
Just
and
normal
so I
people.
Had to be I had to be on it. Like,
right.
My best friend was texting me. Well, okay. Actually, let me back up because I have some beef with everybody on social media about Stranger Things.
Mm.
I could not tell you how many times I opened Instagram stories and people were posting videos of the episodes. And I was like, you guys, you are the worst. Don't do that. What if I hadn't seen the episode yet?
Right.
Like,
that's jacked.
And you
up.
Can't, you know, because they just automatically go from one story to the next.
Right.
So it's not like I would just be seeing something. And one of my best friends was doing that. And I was so mad at her that I messaged her on Instagram. And then she was taunting me that she, like, knew stuff before me. So I put her on Do Not Disturb on my cell phone. And I didn't talk
Perfect.
To her for 2 days.
That'll show her.
I was committed.
You really were.
Committed. Okay, so what overall did you think of Stranger Things season two?
On Halloween night, Will's a sort of shadow. Maybe all of this is happening for a reason.
These are not nightmares. It's happening. And it all leads back to here.
This thing.
You said it was all in his head. And what have you done? Nothing. What is wrong with my boy?
I don't understand. However, what? She was sick.
I liked it. If people are like unfamiliar with Stranger Things, we're gonna talk a little bit non-spoilery and then we're gonna jump into spoilers. So this is the non-spoilery section. I liked it. I didn't like it as much as season one, but it was a lot different than season one, I think. Like just the general vibe I was getting from the show. So yeah, I thought it was good. Like, I enjoyed it. I don't know if I, like, disliked a whole lot about it. The kids are older, and so that changes a lot about how the show moves and the plots of the show. And so that was kind of interesting following that. But there were a couple, like, rabbit holes they went down this season that I just thought were kind of stupid, a little waste of time, and maybe spent too much time on them. But overall, you know, it still gave me the same, like, nostalgia kind of 80s vibe that I got from the first season. And I don't know if it was a thing where it was like, we already know what to expect from this show, so it doesn't feel the same, or if it was like, this season is completely different, but I got kind of just different vibes from season one. So I enjoyed it. I would recommend it still, but I don't know how it measures quite yet for me compared to season one. How about you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't think that season two was as good as season one, but mm-hmm. I still really enjoyed it. And while I was watching it, I was just thinking, like, it was always going to be hard to follow up season one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, season one probably could have just even been a movie and right. It would have been great and we could have been done with it because it just was perfect as it was. So I think that's always a challenge with really, really good TV shows, is that they always have to kind of keep one-upping the last season.
Right.
And I think that that can kind of get – I think in some shows that works, like Game of Thrones, that can mm-hmm. totally work.
Mm-hmm.
For a show like Stranger Things that kind of – is so lovable and enjoyable based on it, because not that the first season was simple necessarily, it mm-hmm. wasn't like not well thought out or anything, it just was this very clean, tight plot, which right. was awesome and was executed so well, and all the kids were like this perfect age, and so it just kind of existed in this really great bubble of being this great TV series. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now they just have to keep one-upping themselves. And so I think that's probably why season two didn't feel quite as great as the first season, just because it's just hard to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's hard to do that and stay true to what was so great about season one. But that's not to say I didn't like season two. I really enjoyed it. And I think they did a good job with having to, you know, one up themselves, but
mm-hmm.
I still think season one is just some of the greatest, really probably some of the greatest television I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just gonna be near impossible to compare to that. Well, we both liked it. We'd both recommend it for sure. If you haven't seen any Stranger Things, definitely give it a try. I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, I wasn't born in the 80s. I don't know if this is for me. I'm kind of not following this plot. And the second time I sat down and I like really paid attention to the show, and I really liked it the second time. So definitely give it a try if you haven't. But we're going to jump into spoilers because that's where all the good stuff is. So here we go. What was kind of something you wanted to talk about from season two that you loved or hated?
I'll start with something I loved.
Okay.
I loved Sean Astin's character.
Oh my gosh,
I thought he was so, just like so cute and so lovely and such a great, what a great boyfriend to Joyce. You know, right. Joyce has been through some rough things, and Sean Astin was just so lovely, and I definitely spent most of the first half of the second season thinking Sean Astin was secretly like a bad character.
That's actually funny you mentioned that, because my boss, who has not quite yet finished the series, is like, I have a hunch he's gonna be bad, but for me, like, I just had a feeling he was a means to an end, because it was like, okay, whether he's good or bad, there's no way he's going to stick around for two reasons. One is just like, it's Sean Astin, so it's like a really big name. And two is Joyce and Hopper like clearly have a thing still, and like somebody in the middle of that is probably not going to last in the show. So I thought he was great for what he did, and the way they killed him off was pretty fantastic. Like, I just thought that was such a good episode. I got like massive alien vibes from that episode, and I think that's why I loved it so much.
Well, once again, Sean Astin is the true hero of saving the world because he saved the world in Lord of the Rings and he saved all of them in Stranger Things Season 2. Sean Astin is the and real the MVP. And the Goonies.
Three for three.
If you need world saving, don't get Elijah Wood to do it. Get Sean Astin to do it. He has got your back.
Exactly. Yeah, I enjoyed him a lot. I actually really liked Joyce's kind of story this season. I felt like we got to see more of her in not so much like a crazy frantic mom, but just as a mom who's dealing with the repercussions of like having had a missing child and now that child is back and she's very protective, overprotective of him. And so I liked seeing that side of her and also seeing her like loosen up and have a little bit of fun. Cause in season one, it was mostly just like, Winona, act really sad. Winona, act super stressed. And so it was nice to get her like happy side.
Yes. Yeah. Poor Winona. I mean, this is a side note, but it's just always funny watching her because you can tell Winona Ryder's just a tiny bit off. And so this character really just fits her really well because she can kind of be her strange and quirky self in this character. But she was a badass this season. I mean, she was a badass the first season, but she was a badass this season. She was not taking any crap from the Shadow Monster.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, totally. The Mind Flayer. Different. I really didn't enjoy... Okay, I really... I have a hard time with this. I didn't like the character of Max, which is funny because I liked the character of Billy because I thought he was just, he was 1,000% unnecessary, but I liked his character.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't like either. I thought they were both really unnecessary and really just like side characters that have no depth. So I was kind of disappointed with them. I knew that like Billy being such a tool bag, like there was going to be something in the later episodes where he was redeemable in some way. And that kind of came in the form of like them showing that his dad was abusive. And so you kind of got the feels for him when he was shedding a little bit of a tear. But yeah, Max, I don't know, like I was really bummed because when I saw the poster, I was super stoked to see there was another girl on it. And I was excited to kind of see what her character would be. And she's really kind of a Lucas in a woman body. Like, she's just very kind of negative and, like, whiny. And I don't know. I struggle. There's room for one of those people, not really two in a group.
I just was annoyed by her because she was so intense right away, and I get that her backstory is supposed to be like, oh, this girl is from a hard life,
right?
Okay, but she was super intense right away and she felt like she was entitled to know everything that was going on with all these friendships that mm-hmm. she had just become a part of, and that was really annoying to me. And I get it. It goes back to what I was saying about having to top themselves, where they have to bring in new characters. Mm-hmm. But I did have a theory early on, and I don't know if this is going to be validated for me at some point. I don't think it will be, but early on, I thought that maybe Max and Billy were numbers 9 and 10.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's really good.
I don't think that's the case. Yeah.
Ooh,
because, you know, they were saying, like, oh, we had to come back to Hawkins. This is your fault. We're not really brother and sister. So I thought maybe there was something there, but...
Oh, yeah. That's really clever. That would actually make me like them way better, to be honest.
I know, because it would actually make them necessary to the plot.
Yes, very.
Which right now they're not.
They're so not. And I was super bummed because I was like, oh my gosh, this girl's good at Dig Dug. I love Dig Dug when I was little. Like, I was obsessed with that game. And I was like, oh, she's cool. She skateboards. But yeah, I don't know. Their story was lost on me a little bit. Dacre Montgomery, who is the guy who plays Billy, is an amazing actor. I was just watching footage of his audition, and he is really good. I totally forgot he was in the new Power Ranger movie. I was like, why does he look so familiar? And that's why.
I think he looks like the love child of, like, Justin Timberlake and Jared Leto.
Yeah, he totally does give me, he gives me Leto vibes and a little bit of Rob Lowe vibes as well, when Rob Lowe was, like, really young. He's also from Australia, which I did not know until today.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah. So they were okay. Let's hope that they kind of develop them a little bit more and give them an actual purpose later in the season, or later in the seasons. Let's talk about 8 real quick, because the season opener shows 8, who is, you know, quote unquote, like 11's lost sister, who was in the lab with her. And there's an entire kind of reunion episode where they meet up, and 8 is from like the bad part of town with all these like thugs, and they're shifty little people who are making their way through the streets and blah blah blah. What did you think of that whole plot line?
I wasn't crazy about it. I mean, it's hard to say. I get it. I get why they felt like the writers or the Duffer brothers felt like they had to put that plot line in.
Right.
But I just was not into it. While I was watching that episode is called The Lost Sister, where it's just 8 and 11, and they're in Chicago the whole time with this group of thugs that nobody knows or cares about.
Right.
And during that episode, I turned to Cliff and I told him, I am over this storyline. Because I was. Because I didn't want to sit there and watch this group of people that I have no interest or investment in, who I know aren't going to be around for the rest of the show anyway.
Totally.
For an entire episode. I just didn't care. And what I like so much about Stranger Things is that it holds on to so much 80s nostalgia, in that it really focuses on just kind of one tiny town. Mm-hmm. And so I really like the idea of everything kind of taking place within or kind of right around Hawkins, because I think that's what makes it so cool. And so having them in Chicago for a whole episode was just annoying to me. I was like, this sucks. Take me back. Like, I want to see Mike. I want to see, you know, I want to see Dustin and Lucas. Like, I don't care about this group of people. And I really kind of thought that and maybe this was just the way her character was written. I don't know. But I kind of thought the actress who played 8 was just kind of flat. Like, I didn't think she was very exciting. I don't know. It didn't do it for me.
Yeah. I agree. I was getting, I don't know if you've seen the show Orphan Black at all.
No, I've never seen that. So, but I know what it is.
So that show essentially has like this woman who finds out that there are basically clones of her, and like all the clones have different personalities and every single one has a different purpose for the show. And I thought it would kind of be in the tone of that, where like 8 has powers that 11 doesn't have, which is true. But I thought that that would be more useful to the plot that was simultaneously happening in Hawkins. And it was like, oh, cool. You can like make walls with your mind. All right, bye. I'm going back to Hawkins. It was like, wait, what?
Right.
Like, why did you even waste the time explaining this, showing her to us in the pilot or the first episode of season 2, and then bringing us back here and then just leaving it all again? Like, that to me was really not a tied up story at all. So I'm not sure if they're going to go back to it in season 3 and kind of flesh it out a little bit more. But I was not particularly like happy with that episode. And that's kind of where I started to lose interest in season 2. And I was like, man, if this is the direction they're going, I don't know if I want to keep watching it. And then luckily they went right back to grassroots, like typical Stranger Things, and got back into what makes the show so good. But yeah, I definitely had that feeling of like, what is this? What is the purpose?
Right. But I agree with you in that the episodes that came after that, for me at least, redeemed that stupid episode because
yeah,
they were so good. And finally, Eleven was back with all the boys, which I was waiting the entire season for.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that's what I want to see. That's what's so great about it. But
yeah,
her and yeah, Mike's reunion was the best thing I've ever seen. And I love their I know that they're like 12 and 13, but I love their relationship so much because it's just yeah, so pure and beautiful. And they just both know they belong to each other. And it's just so great.
It's
and they
pure
finally get
fuel
to go to the snowball. It's just so good. I just
their
love them so much.
Is pure fuel to me. Like, they're just
pure fuel.
It's pure fuel. They have a really cool dynamic in that, like, in season one, Mike was really the only one to really nurture her and, like, explain things to her. And they just connected on a level that every other boy just didn't with her. And so it was really cool getting to see them reunited. I was also really stoked that they gave Eleven more of the development story. So, like, explained who she is and where she came from. However, the story with 8, I wasn't a big fan of. And even the story about her mom, I wasn't a big fan of. And so I'm happy that they, like, dove into that area. But I wasn't particularly excited about the stories that they brought with it. And so I love Millie Bobby Brown. I think she's incredible. The scenes where she would basically, like, go into her mind and, like, walk up to the people that she missed. Like, those were really powerful scenes. And I thought she did a really good job with them. I just wish that there was more of her, and I wish that they were in a better context than just Eleven being sad all the time.
Yeah, that's true. She was sad for most of the season.
She was just really
sad
about everything.
She did have Hopper with her, which was amazing. And I think that was one of my favorite things about the season was her relationship development with Hopper, which mm-hmm, is so cool. And I honestly did not see that coming. And it's just so cool that Hopper essentially adopts her officially, sort of, not
right,
really at the end, but
right.
I just love the relationship. It's so cool.
Yeah, Hopper is great. Like, he's just really fun, and he actually has the best Instagram ever, if anyone cares. His name is David Harbour, and he is hilarious. But side note. But I loved his storyline this year. I thought it was really good. Yeah, I really liked where he was going and how he kind of got stuck in the upside down for a sec and they had to come find him. And on top of that, like, Will was actually in the show this season, which was fun. And he is,
I know,
I just think he is the cutest little kid I've ever seen. I just think he is adorable.
I know. They're all the best. I love them mm-hmm, all so much. I think Finn Wolfhard is so great. And I really hope with all these little kids that none of them grow up to be, like, you know, shitheads. Like, I really
right,
need them to not make stupid choices.
Right.
I need them to not, you know, get DUIs or walk out of a car with
totally,
no panties on. Like, I really need them to not go that way.
Yeah, I was talking to Tim about that because he was like, how many of these kids do you think are gonna be like super weirdos in 5 years? And I was like, you know, I hope that the industry has changed enough with child actors at this point where they like have really firm, sturdy support systems like next to them. And I mean, Finn has been he was in It and he was in Stranger Things. Like, he's been in huge things. And then on top of that, like, they're all really personable on talk shows. I just watched All the Boys went on Ellen and it was super cute. They're all very well spoken. They just seem like they've got good heads on their shoulders. So you can only hope that they know what they're going to do, when they're done with this thing.
I hope so. I need them to be okay. I will, if any of them are listening, I will come be with you and be your life coach. Like, let me be your life coach. Let me be your mentor. I will protect you from the Lindsay Lohans of the world.
What did you think about the older kids' plot? So you have Jonathan and Nancy who kind of end up getting together. You have Steve who kind of is dumped by Nancy and then takes on this, like, mentor role for Dustin. So their realities change quite a bit.
I mean, I'm all about Steve. Steve could, let me rephrase this. Steve is great. In the first season, I was really not sure I was on board with Steve until the last few episodes. But in this season, he was awesome. I'm super, super on board with Steve. Jonathan and Nancy. Nancy, I cared about you way less in this season. You were great in season one. I cared about you not quite as much in this season. Jonathan, I think I liked you so much in season one because you were so concerned and sincere. And in this season, you were too happy and it felt unfamiliar to me, so I didn't know what to do with you. He was like, Jonathan, I liked Jonathan so much in the first season because he was just kind of this awkward teenage boy. And then in this season, I don't know, he just didn't feel as shy or awkward. Yeah. And that's what I liked about him. Like, good for him for being confident, but I wish he'd go back to being shy and awkward because that's what made him charming to me.
Right. I don't know how I feel about Jonathan and Nancy getting together. Like, I feel like they're just better off as really good friends, but I get why they did it. Nancy, I appreciated that she was, like, so sprung on getting justice for Barb this season, which was, like, great. I mean, as she should, because let's be real, it was kind of partially her fault that happened to Barb. Rip Barb. But yeah, I don't know. I could do without most of their plot line. Like, Steve is hilarious and he's good comic relief, but aside from that, like, I don't really care about his relationships outside of his connection with the young kids. And so they're just kind of there for me. Like, I thought they were great. The scene where Nancy and Jonathan are with that one guy trying to, like, crack the case, and he mentions, like, the pullout bed, and he's like, how is the pullout, Jonathan? Like, after him and Nancy hook up. So that was hilarious. but yeah, I don't know. They were all right. I just don't find them all, like, that exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather... I found them exciting the first season, but I would rather see the kids, to be honest.
Yeah,
I just
totally
love the kids.
Of course. So as far as, like, the season finale, what do you think is going to come of that? And did you like the season finale?
I loved the season finale. I thought it was great. I loved the snowball. I was all over it because it was so cute and pure 80s. And it was just nice to see the kids, like, getting to be kids instead of running around and defeating upside down creatures. So I loved that. As far as, like, knowing the shadow monster, the mind flayer is still out there, I think that's cool. I was totally fine with it. Obviously, he's still out there. They have to keep making more seasons because the show is so popular. But I will say that I really, really hope that the creators of Stranger Things and the Duffer Brothers, that they know when to end a good thing.
Right.
Because I think that this show could easily be taken for a lot more seasons just because it's so popular. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's going to lose the meaning it has because these kids are going to get older. And part of the whole appeal of the show is that we're focused on young kids.
Right.
And you can only take this plot in so many different directions before it's just stupid and nobody wants to watch it. So I really hope that obviously they're going to make more seasons, but I hope that they end it after a third or a fourth season. I really do. Because I think this show, they could really easily ruin if they're just going to try and keep, you know, making money off of it or whatever. But I would love to see them end it on a really good note.
I was kind of hoping to see more of like a, I guess, like some sort of battle between the good and bad side on in the finale. But I kind of feel like it was just like a very quick thing and it was done very fast. But the ball was super cute and I loved it. And Nancy and Dustin dancing was super cute, that she was just like, whatever, I'll help a bro out and dance with him. But yeah, I don't know where they're going to take it at this point. Like, part of me is frustrated because I feel like this season was kind of all for nothing. Like, I don't feel like they've really resolved a whole lot. And I feel like things have just gotten worse under the surface. And there hasn't really been, like, any movement of anything. But at the same time, I'm excited to see where it goes. So, I had fun watching this season. I just didn't think it was it wasn't capturing the magic that this first season had. And agree with you totally in that I hope it ends when it should. Because, yeah, this could go a very bad direction. And I think they should end on a high note. So, hopefully they will. We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Shall I wrap it up?
Yeah. So, out of 10 Demodogs, how many Demodogs you give season 2 of Stranger Things?
I think I would give season 2 a solid 8.5 Demi dogs.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they pulled it off. Wasn't as great as the first one, but they pulled it off. How many Demi dogs do you give season 2?
I'm going to give season 2 a solid 8 Demi dogs out of 10. And okay. I didn't think it was like bad, but I would probably give season 1 9. Or 8.5. So I feel like comparing it to that, having it be the same would not be fair. And side note, the Lost Sister episode has by far and away the worst rating of any new episode at 6.5 out of 10. And all the other episodes are like at least 8.5 out of 10. So we're not alone in thinking that that one was terrible.
That's good. That's good.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, y'all, you should definitely check out season 2 of Stranger Things. It's streaming now on Netflix. Check out all of it and then come tell us what you thought at Film Roast Show on Twitter and Instagram, or on Facebook at facebook.com/filmroast.
Woohoo! Stranger Things. Now I can't even think of the theme song. That was pretty good. All right.
Yeah.
Well, this wraps up. This wraps up this week's Coffee Corner, y'all. Thank you so much for joining us on our Stranger Things journey, and we would love to hear what you thought of Stranger Things. And until next time, happy roasting to you.
Happy roasting. Bye.
Bye.